Blog Talk Radio.
And hello there. You're now listening live on the, this is the Ben Solomon Show. I haven't been doing a show for a while because, well, I've been busy with other stuff. Unlike years ago, I don't spend too much of my time on Blog Talk Radio. I know there was a time when, you know, years ago, there was a time when that was different, but I know I have more important stuff. But a lot's been going on, and so I want to talk about specifically, because I had a lot on my mind in terms of the, in terms of like my views on the world. I have a lot on my mind. My mind's very active in terms of what I think, or in terms of my views, what I think, how I look at the world, you know, and all that stuff, and also for plenty of other stuff. But the point is, I want to discuss what's happening in Syria. By the way, the chat is now open, so if you're listening live right now on your computer from the episode page, and you don't see a chat, you have to reload the page. The chat is now currently open. But now I want to discuss, I think my studio went down briefly, but now I want to discuss the situation in Syria. Recently, Assad again started using chemical weapons against innocent men, women, and children. And as a result, right now, U.S. President Donald Trump has now sent the U.S. military to start firing airstrikes at Syria, specifically at air bases where, you know, specifically at Syrian air bases where they house these chemical weapons that get used against innocent civilians. And so, what I want to discuss plenty of aspects on this. First, I want to discuss how, unlike Obama, President Trump is finally showing American strength and American power. You know, when back in 2013, when Assad was using chemical weapons, Obama said, that's a red line. And yet that butcher Syrian dictator, Bashar Assad, and the world did not take Obama seriously. And pretty much, you know, I mean, nobody took Obama's so-called red line seriously. The world pretty much laughed at him. Because, let's face it, the world pretty much laughed at America during these horrible 8 years under Barack Obama. And so, you know, also, we were told also that, oh, you know, Assad gave up his chemical weapons. He gave up his chemical weapons. No, he didn't. And in fact, you know, I think he gave some of those chemical weapons to Hezbollah. He kept some of them for himself. And we find out right now that Assad did not give up his chemical weapons because, again, he started using them more recently against innocent civilians. Although, unfortunately for Assad, Trump is not a weakling like Obama, and so Trump finally takes action against Assad. And so I also want to discuss also, like, the previous President Obama's hypocrisy regarding Syria, because Obama was one of the worst presidents this country has ever had. He hates this country. He's a far leftist who hates this country, Overall, he thought he was here to fix this country in his image, to radically transform this country into like a far leftist, weak country, pretty much. Let's face it, the left hates America. Leftists think that America is an evil nation, is an evil white racist nation, and we see plenty of the damage that the left has done. Anyway, I'd like to say hello to Dixie Bennett. We see plenty of, damage the left has done. And also, speaking of what's happening in Syria, also, I want to discuss, as I said, like, Obama's hypocrisy on Syria. Now, when it came to the Syrian refugees in particular, when there was intelligence information showing that ISIS smuggled themselves among the Syrian refugees and some of the attackers in that Paris terrorist attack, some of the ISIS terrorists in that Paris terrorist attack were these ISIS operatives who smuggled themselves among the Syrian refugees. And so there's evidence that ISIS, I mean, this is the problem with, like, what's going on over there. You see, radical Muslims take advantage of America's kindness and the West's kindness, just like they take advantage of Israel's kindness. They take advantage of any conciliatory action that Israel, the U.S., or the West makes. Radical Muslims take advantage of it. Any nice humanitarian thing that we try to do to Muslims, radical Muslims take advantage of it, because radical Muslims themselves brag that they value death the way their enemies value life. They brag about it. And that's why you see them sending these human bombs. That's why you see them sending these human bombs. As soon as you send them, you see them sending their. You see them sending people dressed in bomb belts to blow up innocent people. This is where the whole concept of suicide bombers came from. It's part of this evil ideology that tells them that if they die in this jihad fighting infidels, they'll go to heaven and get 72 virgins. I mean, this is the type of evil that radical Islam promotes. And so that's the problem with also, I think, the taking in the Syrian refugee with taking the Syrian refugees. I mean, I have sympathy of that for them. I think we need to I'm also care about our security situation. I care about preserving our culture as well. And also on another note is, like when Obama, like when the GOP was rightly, when GOP and conservatives were rightly afraid of the fact that ISIS smuggled some of the Syrian refugees, Barack Obama got up there saying, "Oh, the GOP is afraid of third world orphans. They're afraid of third world orphans." And you know, and what's funny is that Obama did not want to set up a safe zone for the people in Syria. Trump, on the other hand, does want to set up safe zones for the people in Syria. Barack Obama was a disgrace and a coward. He was a despicable coward, and he refused to use the term radical Islam. And, you know, if you don't know who you're fighting, if you can't name your enemy and you don't know who you're fighting, how are you supposed to defeat the enemy? This political correctness, I think, is not just silliness, but it's very detrimental and dangerous to our civilization, namely America and Western civilization. It's very, very, very dangerous and suicidal. Very dangerous and suicidal is what I want to say. I mean, look at what's happening in Europe right now. You see the Middle East expert Bernard Lewis said that Europe will be Islamic by the end of the century. You see right now I'm not talking about all the Muslim immigrants in Europe, but many of the Muslim immigrants in Europe, you see they're setting up these no-go areas where the police are not allowed, where they enforce real law. Also, like you see, like in places like Rotherham, Britain, 1,400 girls were molested and raped by these Pakistani Muslim male gangs, and the police did nothing about it because the police was afraid of being called racist. These leftists like to talk about rape culture and fabricate it, but the truth of the matter is that, you know, it's the left importing the real rape culture into this country. I remember watching a video from Rebel Media, and I recommend you watch Rebel Media videos. They're very, very, very good and very on point. And one time they were interviewing a Pakistani girl who had a lot of experience with Islamic brutality against women, who basically witnessed a lot of these brutal acts against women over in Pakistan. She fled to Canada for a better life. And because she raises awareness about those issues, and she doesn't want that culture changed, she doesn't want, you know, Pakistan to come to Canada. Because of that, she got accused of being a white nationalist by those on the left. She got accused of being a white nationalist by those on the left, because she dares to talk about the brutality that women in Pakistan face daily. And no, I'm not saying all Muslims are behind all these brutal acts, but what I am saying is that it is a problem in the Muslim world, and also another fact is during World War II, not all Germans were Nazis, and in fact, during World War II, some Germans protected the Jews from the Nazis, but that did not make Nazi Germany any less of a threat. Now, going back to the situation in Syria as well, Obama did not set up safe zones for the people in Syria. Obama's red line was a complete joke. You see, even though the left likes to bash Trump and accuse him of being a racist and intolerant, the facts of the matter are that Trump is doing more to protect the people in Syria. Trump does favor setting up safe zones, and we see right now after that animal Assad started using chemical weapons again, against the people in Syria, we see right now Trump is taking action and bombing airfields in Syria. Now, to be honest, I think we should consider bombing Damascus. And I would support bombing the presidential palace in Syria, except my main concern is that if we get rid of Assad, if we get rid of Assad, then my concern is that then ISIS will take over the country. I mean, that's my only concern with that. But I do support Trump's bombing campaign against Syria, and I think we should consider also bombing certain targets in Damascus, the capital, as well. That's what I think. I mean, also, what I want to say is that Saudi's and chemical weapons against its people, I think it shows what a disgrace the UN is, because the UN, rather than focusing on real, genuine human rights violations, the UN obsesses over Jews building houses in their historic homeland. The UN obsesses over Israel. The U.S. obsessively condemns Israel for defending itself. The U.S. obsessively condemns Israel whenever Jews build houses in their historic homeland. And let's be honest, there is no such thing as a Palestinian people. This idea of a Palestinian people is merely an excuse to fight Israel and to commit a second Holocaust against the Jewish people. The fact of the matter is this. There is no such thing as a Palestinian people. If Israel is to leave the Yehuda v'Shomron, Judea and Samaria, the so-called West Bank, the fact of the matter is that it would not bring peace. The fact of the matter is if Israel leaves the so-called West Bank, it would be very suicidal for Israel, because Israel is the size of New Jersey. Israel is the size of New Jersey. It's a small country defending itself. Israel is the size of New Jersey. You look at the West Bank, and you see, like, you go, like, from Hebron, for instance, is like a minutes away from Jerusalem or Tel Aviv. Minutes away. The West Bank carves into central Israel, and so Israel leaving the West Bank is dangerous and suicidal. It is. Israel has no active peace partner. And yet you see the UN, and yet you see that weakling piece of crap, Barack Obama. Barack Obama, who was a disgrace, an absolute America-hating disgrace to this country, puppet of radical Islam. He doesn't hold the radical Islamic ideology, but his policies benefited the Muslim Brotherhood and benefited radical Islam generally. The Muslim Brotherhood is the father of the radical Islamic movement, of the modern radical Islamic movement. The fact of the matter is, Barack Obama was a far left-wing, America-hating disgrace, and was completely hypocritical in the situation in Syria. Completely hypocritical. I mean, because while the UN and Obama, while the UN obsessively condemned Israel, and Obama did also focus more on condemning Israel and Obama did nothing to enforce that red line. And for all this rhetoric about Russia, about Trump supposedly being a puppet of Russia, all this endless rhetoric from the left, you know, Russia got away with more shenanigans under Obama's term than under Donald Trump. It was under Obama's term when Russian leader Vladimir Putin sent in troops into Syria to protect Bashar Assad. It was under Obama's term that Putin did that. It was under Obama's term that Putin did that. And then when Obama was asked on 60 Minutes about Putin challenging his power, Obama was in total denial about that. Total denial about that. There's no way as Trump, who is restoring America's honor and glory and saving and undoing much of the damage done by the left, as Trump does that, and as Trump bombs Syria's airfields and is bombing Assad because of his chemical weapons attack against innocent civilians, as Donald Trump is doing that, there's no way Putin's going to dare to think about sending troops over to protect Assad, because let's face it, Putin is a strong man, but Putin does not want a direct confrontation with the United States. Russia knew it can get away with more shenanigans under Obama because Obama was a weakling. And Russia took advantage of America's weakness. Iran took advantage of America's weakness. And ISIS took advantage of America's weakness. It's going to be all over when Trump is now reversing that damage and restoring America's greatness. that's going to be all over now. That's going to be all over now. And so, what I wanted to, as I said, you know, I mean, let's face it, Syria right now, overall, I'm not talking about every president in Syria, but Syria right now is a pretty backward country. And one thing also I've been thinking about the whole situation in Syria is, I mean, the people in the Golan Heights are lucky to have been liberated by Israel in 1967. They don't have to live under the tyranny of an animal using chemical weapons. They don't have to live in the tyranny of ISIS or Al-Qaeda or any of these other radical Muslim groups. Let's face it, Bashar Assad is an animal. Bashar Assad is not a human being. Bashar Assad is an animal. And the only reason why we should not bomb, the only problem I have with bombing the presidential palace in Syria is because of I'm worried that then ISIS could then take over. If we were in a better situation and there's no concern of radical Muslims taking over, I would be all for launching a missile to target the presidential palace in Syria. I'll be all for that. Launch a missile to assassinate Bashar Assad, because Assad does not deserve to live anymore. He does not deserve to live. He deserves to die a painful death. He deserves to die a painful death. I mean, let's just face it. I mean, it's a disgrace. I remember, like, on my Facebook page, even starting to watch a video about, like, what these poor kids are going through in Syria. It's a disgrace how, again, the world, the UN is to blame for its incompetence, focusing instead on condemning Israel, rather than all the while Assad was able to continue having chemical weapons right under the UN's nose. And we had that coward Obama who could not enforce any red line. While Obama liked to go around accusing the GOP of bigotry and saying, oh, they hate three-year-old orphans. As I said, Barack Obama did not set up any safe zone for the people in Syria. Trump is setting up safe zones for the people in Syria. Trump is bombing Assad right now, as I said, because Trump right now is showing America's might and strength and power over to Assad. Trump is showing off America's power and might. He's not going around saying, oh, it's a red line, and then doing nothing, and then having the world laugh at us. Trump is actually showing American power and telling Assad, you continue using chemical weapons against innocent civilians, and we're going to bomb the fucking shit out of you. And that's what Trump is doing. That's what we should be doing. That's what we should be doing. Like I said, Bashar Assad is an animal. He's an animal. And this is why I say, thank God. Thank God Israel has the Golan Heights. You know, I've been to Israel 3 times, and I've been on the Golan Heights. And the Golan Heights is literally a hill that overlooks Israel. It's a hill that overlooks Israel. Before the Six-Day War in 1967, in which Israel defended itself, the Syrians used the Golan Heights as a base to fire rockets at Israel, to fire rockets at kibbutzim, to fire rockets at innocent civilians in Israel. As I said, this is why, as I said, for the people in the Golan Heights, I know I'm being redundant now, but I'm going to emphasize this is an important point. For the people in the Golan Heights, being liberated by Israel is a blessing. It's a blessing to be under Israeli rule as opposed to being under the rule of this Nazi-like animal who uses chemical weapons. As much as I don't like Obama, I'm also glad that Bush is not president, because, you see, George W. Bush, in many ways, was an idiot. He was an idiot in many ways. Like the invasion of Iraq, for instance. the invasion of Iraq, and my main problem with the invasion of Iraq is that it ended up strengthening Iran. I mean, Saddam Hussein, I mean, before we invaded, before the during the 1990s and the early 2000s, before George W. Bush decided to invade Iraq in 2003, before then U.S. President George W. Bush decided to invade Iraq in 2003, Saddam Hussein's Iraq was already under tough sanctions, and it was also keeping Iran in check. And now we see, as a result of this Iraq war, Iran was able to expand into Iraq, which was all about, yeah, let's bring democracy to the Muslim world. These Muslim countries are, most of these Muslim countries are not ripe for democracy. Most of them are not ripe for democracy. Bush's approach in Syria would have been like, yeah, let's send our troops over and get rid of Assad and then get blown up by ISIS. You see, this is why Trump, as I said, is restoring. I did not support Trump during the GOP primaries, but overall, Trump is restoring America's greatness. Trump is making America great again. Trump really is making America great again. Let's be honest about that. Trump is making America great again. What else do I want to say? I want to say, as I said, you know, just like, for instance, during the 1990s, when, as I said, the U.S. set up these no-fly zones to protect the Kurds and Shia from Saddam Hussein's chemical weapon attacks, so too, Trump wants to set up safe zones in Syria to protect the people in Syria from Bashar Assad's chemical weapon attacks. And as I said before, and I say now, we should be setting up safe zones in Syria. Which was something that Obama opposed. I mean, again, Assad using chemical weapons. The UN deserves much of the blame for that. I think, as I already said, the UN deserves much of the blame for that because it is under the UN's nose. I remember a year ago or so, I was saying that Assad gave up some of his chemical weapons to Hezbollah. Hezbollah, the Iranian proxy Islamo-fascist terrorist group, which also acts as a proxy of Syria. And I remember saying that. And so the fact is, it's clear now that, well, I was right. Assad did not give up all of his chemical weapons. And so, as I said, Assad was able to outsmart the UN and outsmart America when it was under Barack Obama. And this is why I think it's fortunate that Obama is not still president, because Obama would have just shown up more weakness and cowardice. Because Obama was a coward. He was a far-leftist coward. He was a far leftist coward. He refused to use the term radical Islam. And under the left, for instance, we were more focused in forcing people to allow guys who identify as girls in the women's bathroom, which I don't support morally. My moral view is that that's immoral. But the thing also, but leaving aside morality and religion in this, and I'm a religious person, leaving that aside, leaving those factors aside, was that Obama wanted to strong arm and force businesses to allow, and force schools to allow guys to identify as girls into the girls' bathroom. And that was instead the main focus, instead of like ICE and stuff like that. I mean, we were weak. We were doing horribly under Obama. horribly. And this is why, you know, if that disgraced Hillary Clinton managed to be president, it would be 4 more years of that. You see, this is why Donald Trump winning the presidency is a representation of God's grace for this country. It's a representation of God's grace for this country, and spiritually speaking, from a spiritual perspective, in my view, I think what really I think helped Trump was the fact that Obama reached a deal with Iran, that horrible suicidal deal, that one-sided horrible suicidal deal where Obama gives Iran billions of dollars. Let's just say, well, it's their money, but, you know, but so what? I mean, it's like, let's say someone's out to kill you, for instance, and the police confiscates that person's gun. You would not want the police to give that person back his gun if that person's going to use it to kill you. I mean, you would not be saying, oh, well, it's his gun, so the police was giving him back his gun. No, you would not be saying that. The Iranian regime is a Nazi-like regime. Iran launches missiles saying death to Israel, saying Israel must be wiped off the map. Iran constantly sponsors demonstrations saying death to Israel, death to America. And for those of you who think that Iran is just Israel's problem, Iran considers Israel to be the small Satan and America to be the great Satan. The Iranian regime is a Nazi-like regime wanting to see Israel destroyed, wanting to see America destroyed, and wanting to see Western civilization destroyed. The Iranian regime is a radical Islamic jihadist regime and a major promoter of that ideology. Iran is a major sponsor of international terrorism. And we reached a horrible deal where we get at most a limited look at Iran's nuclear weapons program, and where some of those sites would be self-inspected. We get no look at their missile program or anything like that. I think after 10 years, this deal expires. You know, where we get most a limited look. And in return, as I said, there's no more sanctions against Iran. Iran receives billions of dollars in return. I mean, that's basically what we got from this one-sided deal. And look, from a religious, spiritual perspective, Hashem, God, told Abraham, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Those are the very first words. Or not the very first words, among the very first words. The very first words that Hashem told Abraham was Lech Lecha, which means go to yourself or go for yourself. I mean, more so go for yourself, but I mean, it's the words is Lech Lecha. I mean, Lech already means go. Go for yourself. And God told Abraham, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And it uses the imperative term, like Hitzpael, the imperative term for, I think, for blessed. Imperative, the imperative stem, that is, the imperative binyan, literally building, the imperative stem. But to return to this topic, I think, from a spiritual perspective, that was one of the reasons why, I mean, because Hillary was a continuation of Obama, that's one of the reasons why the left lost, is because the left was promoting this horrible Iran deal, which of course would endanger Israel and also endanger America and the West. And Trump was against that deal. As I said, you know, the Torah, the Tanakh, Hebrew Bible, God repeatedly says, like God told Abraham, the first patriarch, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And, I mean, that's the truth of the matter. You go against Israel, you go against God. And the reason why there's a lot of hatred against Israel is because there's a lot of hatred against God. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. And so, because of this horrible deal, I mean, the reason why we reached this deal with Iran, I think, is because, you know, part of it is, you know, we didn't, I mean, we look at this where, oh, like, we're just fighting Al-Qaeda. Now, oh, we're just fighting ISIS. But ISIS and Al-Qaeda come from the same ideologies, that evil ideology, radical Islam, Islamofascism, the very terms that Obama refuses to use. It's that very evil ideology that's the problem. that declared a holy war and jihad on America and on the West and on the free world. It's that very ideology, that fanatical fundamentalist ideology, that's the problem. Not merely Al-Qaeda, not merely ISIS, but that ideology. ISIS is going around saying everybody else in that ideology is too moderate. But make no mistake about it, it's that specific ideology that is the problem. And so another thing about that Obama did that was a disgrace is when we left Iraq, Barack Obama left all those weapons and convoys in Iraq that ended up in the hands of ISIS. And ISIS started using them to terrorize innocent people in Iraq. You see, America's weakness is what enables these dictators and these evil people to create so much havoc, and then Barack Obama wants to blame other people because people are concerned that there may be terrorists among Syrian refugees, for instance, based on intelligence information and stuff like that. And even though there's no clear way to vet these people, Barack Obama has the chutzpah, the gall, that despicable, disgusting coward had the gall to say, Oh, the GOP are afraid of your old orphans. They're just afraid because they don't look like them. Oh, because they're bigots. You see, the left has been overdoing it with the whole racism and bigotry and white nationalist thing. And of course, I hate racism. I hate bigotry. I hate white nationalism. I hate white supremacism. But going around, you know, calling people who are not those things, is part of the problem. You see, this is why the terms like racist gets belittled. You see, this is what enables people on the alt-right to go around posting stupid racist shit on the internet. And much of it is, much of it, I think, is from the alt-right, which is a fringe. Much of it is, it's largely not even by people who are those things. They just post that stuff to get attention, and it works. And it works. Because, we have this, right now we're coddling people and stuff like that with trigger warning, safe space stuff. We're coddling people right now. We're coddling people. And we're basically acting like people's feelings are now more important. As Ben Shapiro rightly says, facts don't care about your feelings. And this idea of white privilege, I think, it's a hoax. It doesn't exist right now in modern-day America and in the West. I mean, did white privilege exist before? Yes. Was there actual racist policies against black people in America? Yes. For instance, slavery. I mean, there were black slave owners, but let's be honest. But also at the same time, racism was no doubt a crucial component in justifying the holding of slaves. Even though, yes, there were black slave owners and free black people, yet nevertheless, racism was crucial in justifying the continuation of slavery. And also, specifically the South during the days of slavery and during the Jim Crow was very racist when it was under Democrat rule. And yes, and during Jim Crow and stuff like that was another example of racist policies against African Americans. And yes, in South Africa too, during the apartheid, it was racism against the black population there. And so, yes, there were policies that did discriminate against black people in favor of white people at the expense of black people historically. Not today in America, not today in the West. Are there people in America and the West today who are racist against black people? Yes, because every country has its share of racist people and has its share of crapheads. But we hate racism. We hate anti-black racism. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. This idea of white privilege is what makes race relations worse because it basically means it's like a form of OCD, to be honest. It's like a form of OCD. And this idea of white privilege involves harassing white people for their so-called privilege that they supposedly have at the expense of minorities. And basically it's going around harassing white people, telling them, you know, if you sneeze, you're racist. That, of course, creates anger among white people, you know. And the vast majority of white people are not white supremacists, not white nationalists. The vast majority of white people don't really care about that, about this, I mean, they're not race obsessed. That's what I mean. They're not, the vast majority of white people are not racist, and they don't really obsess over race or anything like that. I mean, the vast majority of people generally don't obsess over race. I mean, that's not just limited to white people. I mean, I think the vast majority of people in America and overall don't give a crap about the race of other people and don't obsess over it. Now, the left is constantly bringing it up. But with this idea of, like, you go around telling a group of people, you know, you're privileged and you're, anything you do is racist, and harassing them over it and telling them you can't speak about this stuff because of your privilege, you know, it's going to create, you know, like, an anger among that group of people. And then going to another group of people and telling them, you know, you're victims and you can never succeed because the white people are out to get you, is, you know, going to create anger among that community. And then what you have? You have more of this racial strife and racial division. Like, for instance, in New York City, for instance, you know, there was this idiot who said that white babies can be racist. You know, white babies and babies, regardless of skin color, whatever, they don't even know what race is. They don't even know what race is. The first thing they think when they get out of the room is, holy crap, look at the world around me. I mean, that's the first thing they think about. I mean, they cry because they're no longer in the room. They're no longer in this like they're no longer in the room. They're no longer in this like dark room that they do for like 9 months. But instead, you know, they're out in the world, out in the wider world, seeing it for the first time. They don't think about, oh, I hate those black people, or I hate those white people, or I hate those Hispanic people, or I hate those Asian people. They don't even know what that means. So in the bank school, for instance, they go around, you know, and when I have kids, I will, you know, if they teach, if they make my kids feel bad because of their skin color, I'm gonna give hell to the teachers who ever do that. Because you know, the point is, like, also in this bank school, you know, they went around segregating the black kids and the white kids, and basically, you know, they promote this one-sided propaganda where only white people have been evil throughout history and stuff like that, and they make, you know, the white kids feel bad about themselves because they're white, because they have white skin, and then plenty of the white kids go home crying because of this so-called privilege, because they get told, oh, you're privileged, and your privilege comes at the expense of minorities, and anything you do is racist, and you're responsible for all that horror that only white people ever did, and they go home crying and stuff like that. I mean, the whole thing is disgusting. It's child abuse. You have, like, white kids feeling bad about themselves for things they did not do because of this racist crap coming from the left. And you have, like, this idea of white privilege, and you have, like, Black Lives Matter and all these SJW snowflakes and all this white privilege shit and all this shit about white privilege to thank for that. The left has made race relations work. They say, we didn't know, it's an open discussion about race, but if you're a white person, you give a contrary view, and you get told, check your privilege, which is another way of saying, shut the fuck up. And also, if you're a black person who has a contrary view, you get told, oh, you're a con, you get told, oh, you're a coon, you're an Uncle Tom, you're this, you're that. You know, if you're like a black person and you espouse the left-wing view, then, that you suddenly now represent black people and stuff like that. You represent the whole black experience. If you're a conservative and you give a conservative viewpoint, oh, you're just an Uncle Tom, or you're an Oreo. Oh, and the term Oreo basically, you know, it basically references the white cream inside the cookie, basically saying, you know, you may be black on the outside, but on the inside, you're white. You're really white on the inside. Why? Because you come with another point of view. Because you come with another point of view that's not a victim mentality viewpoint. That's not a disempowering victim mentality viewpoint. And you get told, oh, you're not really black. You're just an Oreo. I mean, look, I mean, I have white skin, but I see skin color as nothing more than shades. I think this obsession over skin color is stupid. It really is stupid. It's like obsessing over eye color, obsessing over hair color, and to discriminate against people and hate people just for having a different skin color than you makes you, I think, a piece of crap, in my view. And, you know, and if you're going to really do, like, if you're really going to treat someone horribly for having a different skin color than you, then that makes you an evil sack of crap. I mean, racism is evil and despicable and disgusting. It is. And the answer to racism is not this collectivist crap, because racism inherently is a collectivist ideology. The answer to racism is to treat people like individuals, to like what MLK, Martin Luther King, said, to treat people based on the content of their character, not their skin color. MLK said he dreamed of a day when his four kids would grow up in an age where they would be judged on the content of their character, not on their skin color. And it's about time we do that, through treating people as individuals. The conservative approach to race is not what's racist here. The Marxist approach is. Let me explain why. When you have a Marxist approach to race, it's inherently racist. And let me explain why. Because you see, Marxism and communism generally, Marxism being a communist ideology based upon Karl Marx. Karl Marx and Frederick Engels, his co-author, they wrote the book The Communist Manifesto. By the way, Marx is also an anti-Semite as well. He wrote a whole book attacking Jews as well. But Karl Marx and I think Frederick Engels, his co-author, wrote a book called The Communist Manifesto. There's a very famous telling phrase from that book. It says, quote, "The history of the world is the history of class struggle." That's what the book says. That's a line from that book, a very famous line. "This is the world's history of class struggle." As an early materialist perspective, I mean, you know, it doesn't take into account, like, ideology and belief system and any other factors. It simplifies it where it's really, you know, always been a struggle between the elites, the ruling class and the people, or the bourgeoisie and the proletariat, or the privileged and the underdog and stuff like that. And, you know, basically, what that means is that whenever you, I mean, the reason why, communism resulted in the deaths of millions of people. There's a reason for that. And leftists are not at best whitewashing communist dictatorships, leftists like to say, like with the Pol Pot and Stalin, whose atrocities are more well known, leftists like to say, "Oh, that's not real communism. That's not real communism because there's no real so-called utopia that the left supposedly expects or whatnot." But here's the real reason why communism killed millions of people. It was the logical conclusion of communism. Why? Because communism depends upon a group of people to demonize as the bourgeoisie pigs, as the privileged, and stuff like that. Communism depends upon that. In order to justify stealing from that group of people in the form of wealth redistribution, I want to demonize that group of people as and accuse them of exploiting the people and exploiting the working class and stuff like that, then anything bad against them is just seen as justified. Even putting them before a firing squad is seen as justified. And this is why, you know, the logical conclusion of communism has been the death of millions of people. We get told by the left, "Oh, you know, it was the Red Scare. America was just paranoid." Yes, there was paranoia in America during the Cold War, but much of that paranoia was based upon facts. You can say maybe, you can argue, well, maybe the U.S. was at times overzealous. Maybe McCarthy was overzealous, but there were Soviet spies. The Soviet Union and communists did seek world domination in the form of world revolution. Communists were murdering millions of people, and you know, at least in the 50s, people cared about our civilization. We don't give a crap about our civilization right now. That's what's sad. Instead, you have like a bunch of these weeny snowflakes wanting safe spaces and stuff like that. Now here's why any communist approach to racism is racist, because communism always results in having to find a group of people to demonize as the upper bourgeoisie. In order to demonize them in order to justify wealth redistribution. And so, too, when you have any communist approach to race, you have to find a race of people to demonize as the bourgeoisie, as privileged, as the upper class, as these capitalist exploiters, and stuff like that. And, you know, once you find, and finding a race to demonize as such is racist. Because what is racism to begin with? Racism is when you is when you hate somebody based on that person's race, based on that person's skin color, based on that person's ethnicity. That's what it is. Racism is basically hating that person because of his or her race, and demonizing a whole race of people and stuff like that. Hating someone because he or she's part of that race of people is inherently racist. That's what racism is to begin with. That's why any communist approach is racist. And the people who communists found to demonize as the privileged bourgeoisie upper class are white people, particularly white males. I mean, you see, this is why communism is inherently an evil, evil, evil ideology. It can never coexist with democracy, or it can never coexist with freedom and stuff like that. This is why, you see, the answer to racism is to treat people like individuals, not harass someone because of his or her skin color, whether because that person is black or white or whatever. And you see, leftists seem to think, oh, that is racist. You treat people like individuals, that is racist. You see, like saying you think that the most qualified person to get the job is nothing as a microaggression. Even though that statement is about as anti-racist as you can get, that statement is about as antithetical racism as you can get. You're saying, you know, hire based on quality. That is the most anti-racist statement you can make. and yet these SJW weenies say, it's a microaggression. That's a microaggression. The fact of the matter is this, you know, I mean, this idea of unconscious bias and stuff like that, I think, in my view, is OCD. It is. Because OCD, you know, I mean, I'm not just being generic and stuff like that, because OCD is really a real condition that involves, like, you know, like, the famous things being, like, you know, like, the famous symptoms of it is basically, you know, where, you know, like, you feel like your hands are dirty and stuff like that, so you wash them until they get wrinkled. Or, like, it basically involves thoughts that occupy your brain and you can't get rid of them. Or, like, you know, doing certain actions that basically, you know, like in the hopes of trying to get rid of the intrusive thought, but oftentimes, you know, not working, because it always says that's not correct, it's not correct, it's not correct, and stuff like that. And this idea of unconscious bias is the same way. Because you can never really, you know, please the people. Just like you can never please the OCD, you can never really please the people who make these claims. Specifically, like, if you're white and stuff like that, you can never please the people. Because no matter what, you're racist. No matter what, you're at least unconsciously racist. Even if you don't see it, you're at least unconsciously racist. The idea of white privilege, no matter what, you're privileged at the expense of others. There's nothing, and there's nothing you can do to please these people. Nothing. Nothing. I mean, they're just like intrusive thoughts that constantly harass you, and there's nothing you can do to, you know, to please them. I mean, that is one key similarity. I mean, the SJWs are inherently Marxists. They're cultural Marxists with mental disorders. Well, And their whole approach is an OCD style Marxist approach. I mean, that's how it is. That is how it is. This idea of white privilege, this idea of unconscious bias, is like OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. It is. It's very obsessive and it's very compulsive, and it involves, you know, like, you can never really, just like you can never, just like people who suffer from OCD, from severe OCD, can never please the OCD. That's why people who suffer from that condition spend hours washing, many of them spend hours washing their hands or checking to see if the door is locked. You know, they don't just check once or twice. They like, you know, go check for hours. Because, you know, and they think, well, there's something, we may not have done it correctly. Because, as I said, you can never please the OCD. They're like, you can never please the people who cry white privilege and stuff like that. You can never please them. You can never please the people who cry unconscious bias either. Because no matter what, you know, you cannot get rid of the unconscious bias. There's no action you can do to get rid of the unconscious bias. No matter what, you're stuck with the unconscious bias. And, you know, and these people who cry that, you know, harass you about it constantly. They use it to harass you. I mean, the thing is, people on the left, they act like they're the best mind readers. They act like they're, you know, great, that like they, like they're able even to read people's subconscious. Oh, you have unconscious bias. You're unconsciously racist. You unconsciously hate black people. It's like, you know, provide evidence. And the only evidence is, oh, you're white and you disagree with us, or their evidence is, oh, you're white. That's it. You're white. And therefore, you got to do what we say, or else you're somehow a racist. And even if you don't see that you're a racist, oh, that's because you're unconsciously racist. And it's like, you know, you can never do anything to please these people, because no matter what, you know, they can always, you know, like say, oh, you're privileged at the expense of minorities. And you are, and they can always say, oh, you're unconsciously racist. And there's nothing you can really do, you know, to please these people who make these claims. Nothing. It's like there's nothing you can, just like for OCD sufferers, there's nothing you can do to the OCD and stuff like that. Other than just eventually say to the OCD, fuck off. I mean, that seems the only solution. The only solution is to say, fuck off. And then sure, it doesn't please the OCD, it doesn't please the people who make these claims, but, you know, but it basically is a way to sort of, you know, like, to bother by them as much. Anyway, so anyway, as I said, I mean, every country has racist people, but I think America is not a racist country in the present day. Historically, there was a lot of racism in America, and there was a lot of racist policies against black people, specifically with Jim Crow and segregation, and especially the South was, you know, the most racist. Historically, that's true. But in this present day and age, America is not a racist country, because America does not promote racism. In fact, overall, the vast majority of Americans hate racism, and the vast majority of Americans hate being called racist. They hate being called racist because they hate... They hate being called racist because they hate because you know the instinctual reaction of the vast majority of Americans when they're called racist is, you know, we're not racist. They hate they hate even being called that word, and the fact is, in that smear by the left has been effective in silencing people and in shutting people up because they don't want to be called that. They don't want to be associated with that. Well, let's face it, the vast majority of Americans hate racism. I mean, that's a fact. The vast majority of Americans hate racism. And so that's the truth of the matter. And so I think it's been a great show anyway. I liked doing this show. Sometimes I try to find stuff to say to keep people, so I don't want to be silent too long and stuff. You know, and I want to try to keep my audience, you know, like still listening. And I don't, you know, so yeah, as I said, I haven't been broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio for a while because I've been focused on other stuff. I hope for those of you who are listening, I hope you enjoyed the show. Even if you disagree, well, you know, well, feel free to call and explain why you disagree. I mean, the next show, maybe we can have a discussion about this stuff. And it's all, you know, so anyway, so feel free to call in if you have anything to say. If you think what I'm saying is complete crap, feel free to call in and tell me so. And then I can say why what I'm saying is true. So God bless Israel. God bless America. God bless the free world. God bless you. And take care. And take care. Actually, that's about 30 seconds, so, you know, so, as I said, so, if you have a differing opinion, and you disagree, feel free to call in, and we can have a debate where I will win, even without the mute button, I will win, but, you know, I'll win the debate, because, let's face it, you can call an expressive viewpoint, but I'm still right, so, God bless you, God bless America, God bless the free world, and take care.